a stinker we have for Thursday Night Football tonight. We got one team in a state of purgatory, but the other one, the Dallas Cowboys, they're on the precipice for a state of emergency.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good peep. It's your boy Theo Dorsey. We got my boy C-Cat on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. It's a Thursday. Thursday Night Football on the television screens tonight in East Rutherford, New Jersey. That's a city that we would never talk about ever, would never get mentioned if they didn't have the MetLife Stadium out there, right? Like,
yeah.
What else is in East Rutherford, New Jersey?
The highway. The highway, and there's this, like, I think indoor skiing thing that was being built for the entirety of my kind of childhood, and then I moved away when it was finally opened.
Okay. I would like, if I ever meet anybody from East Rutherford, New Jersey, which I don't even know if they have schools there or grocery stores or stoplights, like, I'll be impressed. It's one of those cities that it gets so much pub, but literally I've never heard it outside of the context of what we're getting tonight, a primetime football game. Cowboys at the Giants, one team very mundane, just waiting out the contract of Daniel Jones. And the other team, the Dallas Cowboys, they're both 1-2, by the way, the Cowboys and Giants. Well, they're on the precipice of a state of emergency, similar to 61 out of 67 counties here in the Sunshine State of Florida, because we got Hurricane Helene on the way. And That's a good hurricane sound. Thank you, CK.
Yeah, I didn't want to do the alarms. I think it's actually illegal if you play an alarm on the FCC-regulated thing. Yes. So, thunder crack, people. Thunder crack.
That thunder crack is the symbolization of what we are bracing ourselves for here in the state of Florida. South Florida, where we're at right now, here along the East Coast, a little safer, though everything got canceled between schools and football games tonight and whatnot. Even my event, by the way, we talked about the celebrity bartending event that was supposed to be the night in Riviera Beach. Sorry to tell you, we're going to have to postpone that with United Way, so I'll let y'all know when you can come through and get some of my smooth mixology. You got to wait a little bit. It'll be worth the wait. But there is a storm on the way, so prayers up for the Gulf Coast. Prayers up for the west side of Florida. That's Hurricane Helene is expected to make some impact tonight. Category 2 right now. And I believe that there's a chance it can strengthen. It's supposed to strike tonight. They say 15 to 20 feet storm walls. I just hope for protection over that Gulf Coast because it got ugly last year with the last storm and 6 years ago as well. Just, again, for both the insurance rates and for the safety of people here in the Sunshine State, hoping it doesn't intensify or create any kind of damage or irreversible damage that we can't get back. But one thing I do think about as we turn this a little bit to football is the Dallas Cowboys. When you rate how panicked not just a team should be, but their fan base, their front office, also, I mean, honestly, the guys in that locker room, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, they are one of the squads that came in with so much expectations, right? They're going to have championship hopes. Jerry Jones, the owner, told us in this offseason, hey, we're all in. This is it. This is the year. You pay Dak Prescott $60-plus million a year at the beginning of the year. You pay CeeDee Lamb to come back in there and be this elite level of connection, this top-level offense. And now you're staring in the face of potentially going 1-3, potentially tonight on the road against the Dallas, against the New York Giants. You're a 5.5-point favorite right now. If you lose this game tonight, because I don't think you should be in full-out panic mode. The Cowboys can't stop the run. They can't run the ball themselves. We joked right here on these airwaves here on Theoretically Speaking about them bringing in Dalvin Cook after already re-signing Ezekiel Elliott. And, like, why would you start an old man's club? Why are you doing a bingo haul in your backfield when you know that's not the way to rushing efficiency? And people got mad at us, C-Cat.
Yeah, they didn't like us poking fun at the ages of these 30-year-old men.
It's like, what the hell? First of all, who the hell was that defending Ezekiel Elliott and Dalvin Cook on our YouTube page? At Theo Speaking, by the way, you can subscribe today and maybe counterbalance the hate we received. Because wasn't that the same guy that criticized my hairline?
Yeah, you're gaining haters by the day. More haters than fans, so I think we should fix that.
That actually sucks. I hate that. And by the way, my hairline is not receding. It just was a little cowlick that day.
Not yet. No, we're good. Hairs.
Don't say not yet, C-Cat. It's never going to recede. I would be in a state of emergency if that did happen. And I will say this. For the Dallas Cowboys, they are right there. They're on the brink of a state of emergency, and that's because this team has three or four things going wrong for it that I don't see a foreseeable fix in the near future. And they're in a conference in a division where we just saw the Commanders. The very last football game we saw was the birth of a new star in the NFL in Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders as they put the Bengals into a state of panic, winning on Monday Night Football. Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin, that beautiful connection that we saw. Now there's a bit more pride around that organization as the Commanders are 2-1. You lose tonight as well, the Cowboys could drop into fourth in their division. They'll still have the problem where you have Tyler Guyton starting at left tackle for you. And when you go from Hall of Famer to Ron Smith to Tyler Guyton in 1 year, yeah, there's going to be a bit of a fall off. Why did we not expect that? You're all in, but you decided to start a first-round rookie at left tackle. Smart move, I guess. You also don't know the future of your franchise when it comes to your head coach and Mike McCarthy. You blend all of that with we're only 2.5 weeks into the NFL season, or 3 weeks in, excuse me. And you already have Jerry Jones stepping up to the mic, taking full accountability. You already have Micah Parsons on his podcast mid-season because, again, I'm telling you, the more hot mics, the more open mics we have for these active athletes, the more times they're going to get themselves in trouble. There's too many microphones in this world. We got to take some of these mics away. He's out here criticizing the effort of his teammates. We're 3 weeks in. And you have the play of Dak Prescott now being called into question. CeeDee Lamb trying to motivate himself ahead of a Giants matchup. Forgive me if I'm wrong, C-Cat. This is the same Giants team that the Cowboys like laid to ruins twice last year.
And many times before last year.
Right.
The Cowboys have dominated New York.
They've won six in a row in this series. Last year, they started the season off by whooping their ass 40-0. They followed that up later in the season. I think it was like 49-17 or something like that. They absolutely have dominated this Giants squad, and both teams look very similar. The only difference is the Cowboys have regressed since last year. The Giants have had a slight uptick in the form of number one, Malik Nabers, who looks like the second coming of Odell Beckham Jr. and Ja'Marr Chase. And now you have an actual legit problem. The Cowboys, though they're favored, and though I do expect them to regain some chemistry, to regain some kind of flow, because CeeDee Lamb was out. And this is a state of desperation for them. They have their backs against the wall. The most dangerous man is a man with nothing to lose or a man with his back against the wall. That's when you really find out what somebody has in them. I expect the Cowboys to march in to East Rutherford, New Jersey, and come out with a win. And hopefully do so in demonstrative form. But if this game tonight is either close, C-Cat, or if they lose to the New York Giants, you can go ahead and mail in the season. And beyond that, you can go ahead and call it a state of emergency, a Category 5 hurricane. Call for an evacuation. Call for an evacuation of everybody out of Arlington, Texas. Call for, you need to be hiding. You need to be tucking your tail and going for safety because I don't see a way out of this, not only in this season, but moving forward for the Dallas Cowboys, who have Jerry Jones at the helm making decisions that feel more based on keeping the brand of the Cowboys high instead of their competence on the field. They had three back-to-back 12-win seasons, but no playoff success. This year, they might not get either. And that's going to be ugly for a franchise that keeps itself in the limelight that long. They are going to be a Category 5 level of panic if you compare it to a hurricane if they fall tonight. And I don't want to be around for that hurricane watch party. Ain't that what people do here in Florida? They do the hurricane watch parties?
Yeah, they buy all their snacks and they get in their PJs and they take Snapchats. Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah, I don't get how that's such a thing out here. I would not want to be a part of that tonight. If you're a Cowboys fan, I would say cover your eyes tonight because if you don't see it going well past the first quarter, you don't want to stick around for all the damage, all of the wreckage that's going to be left behind if that team can't beat Daniel Jones. By the way, if you can't stop the run and you've been hurt by dual threat quarterbacks, that's the worst time to see Daniel Jones on a short week.
Yeah, it is. Everything you've said made so much sense. In a normal world,
thank you.
The Cowboys are in a bounce back spot. They're coming up against a pretty soft opponent in comparison to the rest of the NFL, a beatable opponent who they've had the number as. So it makes sense for the 6-point favorite Dallas Cowboys to win on Thursday night on the short week. But this year of our Lord, 2024, for the NFL has been anything but make sense. Underdogs of 5.5 or more points, a pretty high number in the NFL, are 14-2 against the spread.
Oh, my God.
So that tells you this game is almost going to be close if it's anything like we've seen the past 3 weeks of action. And those underdogs who are 6 points or more underdogs, they're 10-4 straight up.
Man.
So they've won 10 out of those 14 games. The underdog has won.
So teams entering the game as a 6 or more or 5.5 point or more?
5.5.
5.5 and a point or more underdog have won straight up, not just more times than the favorite, but demonstratively more times.
Yes. 75% of the bets and a bunch of books are on the Cowboys to cover. So the sports books out there would love
for
the Giants to shock most of America and come out with a cover and a win.
Are they making the call?
Right?
That's what
it feels like. It's been a really wacky first couple of weeks. Oh. So don't be too surprised if Malik Nabers, Daniel Jones, and that crew pull off a win.
And again, if and when they do, not only is a state of emergency, that is a Category 5 level storm. Evacuate, call in the National Guard, get everybody in line to protect the good people around Arlington, Texas. Protect my dog, Nicole Hutchison, who's a team reporter out there for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't want anybody around that wreckage to be seen anywhere near it because it could get ugly tonight on Thursday Night Football. And the worst part is it's going to be primetime. So you already know everything leading off Friday is going to be about how dismal the Cowboys' effort is slash was. And again, that's even if it's a close game. I don't care if they win. They have to beat up on the Giants for me to have any ounce of confidence in the Dallas Cowboys this year. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. What level of panic in comparison to a hurricane? I would say a Category 5 for the Cowboys. What level of panic would you assess the Cowboys to be in if they're not able to get this win tonight in a big fashion? I would say a win and a cover. They need to win and cover against the Giants.
Win by a touchdown.
Yeah,
that's going to cover.
Win by a full score, and I would feel more confident. If they don't do that, what level of panic should the Cowboys be in? I say it's a Category 5 hurricane. I'd say it's a mandatory evacuation. The governor's on TV. Wall-to-wall coverage. It's ugly. What say you? Cowboys-Giants tonight on Thursday Night Football. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline here on Theoretically Speaking. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number to the Baptist Health Hotline. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle, orthopedic surgeons, and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. What level of panic, what state of emergency, what category of storm would the Cowboys be in the eye of if they're not able to cover against the Giants tonight? Not just win, but cover. That is not a good Giants team. I know that they have Malik Nabers. He's a fantasy football rock star. He is going to be one of the future stars of the Giants. I mean, he really is the best player on the Giants right now. It's Dexter Lawrence, and then it's Malik Nabers. But I don't think that should be enough to hold off a Cowboys team who are supposed to have three megastars in Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons, and then a bunch of guys around him that are currently, apparently, all in. Because that's what Jerry Jones said. He's the GM. He's the one that built the team, and those are the guys he put around him. C-Cat, what team would you say right now is in as much of a panic, right? Is in as thick of a storm as the Cowboys would be in if they're the first team to fall in Week 4 tonight, which is not even just a possibility. You said it's the most likely scenario based on what we've seen in the NFL so far.
There's a team out there that you might think I'm crazy when I say this, but I look at the numbers and I look at the health of this team, and I think the San Francisco 49ers got to be careful, man, because no CMC, right? Like, you cannot guarantee that he's going to play football this year.
No.
You don't
he's
send
in
somebody to exactly. You do not send somebody overseas for an injury that there is a path clear path to recovery this season. So no CMC. Brandon Ayuk has been a shell of himself after holding out for so long in the preseason. And Debo's hurt. Greg Kittle's hurt. And you got to stack wins. This early in the season, everybody's trying to figure things out. But if you're trying to figure things out and you're not healthy, then you're going to have to figure things out later in the season when everybody else has already dotted the I's and crossed the T. The 49ers right now are tied for last in their division. Seahawks are 3-0. That's the Cardinals, the Rams, the Niners all at 1-2. I'm afraid for the 49ers in 2024.
I called it this offseason. I said I don't have the Niners making the playoffs. I said they're more likely to miss the playoffs than they are to return to the Super Bowl. We saw what happened in 2019 when they fell to the Chiefs. The very next year, they finished last in the NFC West. They had a Super Bowl hangover. It happens to the best of them. It's tough to get that close to your ultimate goal, something you've been dreaming of since you were 3-4 years old, and fall short, and then have to come back the next year, and you got guys in contract years. You got other guys that are getting re-upped, and you're not. Brandon Ayuk had to fight all the way to the finish line. Trent Williams had to fight all the way to the finish line to get paid. Brock Purdy is going to be up for pay in January. When you have that many guys that are going to inevitably have that disease of me that Pat Riley talks about so eloquently that seeps into championship contending teams, and rightfully so, because it's the NFL. It's not for long. You have to strike while the iron is hot. That many guys playing for me, they had a lot of good injury luck last year, and the Niners are not known for that. That same injury luck, that regression is starting to hit right now. I don't wish it on Kyle Shanahan and the Niners, but it felt obvious to me that they would be the team to disappoint in the NFC. And so far, I'm a little spot on. You're right, though, that this is not over with for them, right? What are they? Are they 1-2 or 2-1?
1-2.
Oh, they are 1-2. They lost to the Vikings and the Rams.
Yes.
And after that Vikings loss, I would say one thing that's very disheartening if you're a fan of the Niners, whenever your starting quarterback, the guy you're thinking about paying $50 million plus a year come January, is approaching the defensive coordinator of the other team after the game, talk about, bro, your schemes are crazy. Bro, hey, you really called that game? Like, that is a bad sign.
That's like a girlfriend or wife laughing really hard about another guy's jokes.
Oh.
That's tough. That's really tough.
Imagine if you're Kyle Shanahan and you had to watch that back, because it was all over Twitter. I know Kyle Shanahan saw that. Your quarterback, which your organization is thinking about extending for a five-year contract, probably $200+ million, $180 million guaranteed, and he's going up to another man who he caught those schemes against you. He's the one that coached you. He's the one that drafted you last in the draft. He's the one that believed in you and put you in that position. And right after the game, he's going up to the dude that outschooled you and was like, bro, you are insane with that pen.
And you saw that from 2 weeks ago. From last week, I saw another example of Shanahan collapsing in late game situations.
Man.
They had no business losing that game in regulation, the 49ers did, and they found a way to lose that game in regulation to the Rams.
Can't have that.
And that is the one bugaboo we talk about with this 49ers team before they really got hit with the injury bug, before the season began. Is it really just a Shanahan coaching thing that might keep them out of a Super Bowl win? We've seen them get there a couple times now. We've seen that offense look like a buzzsaw. The defense look real strong. But when it came down to it, late game situations twice against Mahomes, it is the head coach situation that has been kind of holding them back.
It has been. By the way, did Dean Thomas just come and pat you on the back in the middle of you talking there, making a point?
I didn't see what happened.
I saw Dean Thomas pop up. If you're watching the YouTube stream at Theo Speaking here, Dean Thomas, who is obviously the Mr. UFC as well as Mr. Other Things, I can't say here on the air. He just dropped a bag off there by you.
Is it a gift?
I don't know if it's a gift or if it was just a let you know he's here early. Smell it. Yeah, take a smell at that bag. See if it's been used before.
It doesn't smell new, but it doesn't smell used.
Okay, well, then maybe that's your bag. Dean Thomas just gifted CCAT right in the middle of his take there on the 49ers. Maybe he loves your 49ers take so much that our guy Dean Thomas, who's pulling up with us for the happy hour with Tina later on, just dropped off a nice UFC gift there.
It's got his name on it.
It's got a Dean Thomas logo on it or his name?
His name.
Is it stitched on it?
No.
It's on a tag.
Yes.
Cut the tag off, bro. It's yours.
Nice.
Yeah, that's yours. That's how that works. Also, yours, potentially, if you stick around long enough today on a Thursday, we're going to debut something. It's the Take It to the House trivia. It could be yours. You can get $50 worth of the House West Palm gift cards if you pick the right guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you pick the right guy, it's going to be me versus C-Cat. We'll do that trivia contest later on. We're also going to have, of course, and I need y'all's takes on this. Which athlete would you have, or which athlete do you regret not seeing them in their prime, not seeing them in person because on the cusp of Derrick Rose announcing his retirement in ChatGPT form? We have to discuss that. Before we get to that other side, C-Cat, we talked about this hurricane that's coming in. You said you have not done a hurricane watch party yet.
No, just me and the girlfriend bunkering up. That's all we did.
Well, I will tell you this. As a kid, I had a hurricane watch party that was so epic. I mean, that we literally ended up on the national news. My debut on national television came because of a hurricane watch party. When I was in middle school, we had a bunch of family that lived in a city that was about to get struck by a hurricane. But like the week heading up, you know how every time there's like a category 2-3 hurricane about to approach, nobody's really in panic. They're thinking everybody's kind of hyping it. So they waited and they waited. And then about a day or two before the hurricane was going to strike, the news started getting a little bit more hefty. And then out of nowhere, we got like 40, 50 family members driving over to our crib. Just to stay for a night, just to do a little hurricane watch party, right? Because they realized it was going to be something they had to evacuate for. There was a mandatory evacuation in the city. So everybody comes through. We all get together. We're watching the hurricane watch party together. We're kind of having fun. We're playing games. Not Taboo. I don't think Taboo was out back then. I was in middle school. But we're having a good time. We're watching the news, you know, wall-to-wall coverage. And the mood of the watch party just started to deteriorate, you know, hour after hour, minute after minute. Because as we're watching the news, we're looking and we're like, oh, my God, like this is actually like scarier than we thought. And we're watching the live reports. We're looking at people sitting on their roofs. We're looking at the flooding continuing to increase and how ugly it was getting. C-Cat, it was a Hurricane Katrina watch party.
Oh,
most of my family's from New Orleans. It was devastating. And that's the thing. I was a kid. I was in middle school. We had no clue what was going on. We're having a good time. We're vibing. I got all my cousins over here. We're kicking it. It was a Hurricane Katrina watch party. That watch party turned into in our two-story house in suburban Houston, Mo City, Texas, Southwest Houston. That turned into 47 people living in our house for the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Wow.
Plus, honestly, it just started to dissipate over, but they had no homes to go back to. Literally, everybody that came over from New Orleans to Houston had no home to go back to because it was all left in ruins. Remember, they called in the National Guard. They weren't even letting people re-enter New Orleans.
Wow.
There were no hotels in Houston. And here's how we ended up on the national news. Here's how I made my national news debut. My mom was at work. She worked in a medical center in Houston in the VA, and she gets a call from CNN out of nowhere. And they're like, hey, we're on the way to your house right now. We want to do a story on you because we heard you have 17 people registered for school in the Fort Bend Independent School District. And they thought the school district thought we were running a sham there. Because when you have 17 kids and the one address, you're like, is this a football team y'all are trying to get through to Dulles High School? Y'all trying to win state? Like, what the hell is going on here?
Uh-huh.
But then they put two and two together. There's a bunch of New Orleans kids that came over. So CNN comes over to do a story. They're thinking, okay, it's like 25, 30 people in this house. They realize there's 47 people crammed into this two-story house. It's only a five-bedroom house. I say 47 people. It's not like it's mostly kids. It's a lot of adults in this situation. And literally, I was on TV giving them a tour of the house. I was jumping on my newly, my favorite Christmas gift of all time was this trampoline I had. I was jumping on the trampoline, showing my stuff off. And the big quote that I had on CNN was, it's like the family vacation that never ended.
Wow. You coined that. Do you have that on tape somewhere?
We don't even have it on tape because it was like 2005. So like even, I think we had a copy of it and at this point it's gone. But it was absolutely insane. It was one of the weirdest parts of my life because now looking back on it, I didn't realize how stressful of a situation that was for my parents.
Right.
It was just a big ass party for me.
Mm-hmm.
We were kicking it. And shout out to my Uncle Scotty who was doing a lot of the cooking. I mean, imagine you got 47 people in one house for over a month. You're cooking round the clock. The electric bill was insane in Houston in late August / September. It was an ugly sleeping situation. There's like 4, 5, 6 people to each room. You had the game room, the living room, the bedrooms. You had people. They had two people sleeping in the garage.
Where was your sleeping situation?
I was in my room in a bunk bed or on an air mattress, but we had some of my girl cousins sleeping in my bed and my brother's bed. We shared a room at that time. So it was like six of us in one room. And that was like every day for more than a month. The kids that enrolled in school with me, it was funny because it was a weird conflict back in Houston. There was a huge feud between New Orleans kids and Houston kids because that's what happens when you, like, out of nowhere inject a bunch of New Orleans kids into a room, like, a lot of conflict. Where do I stand in that conflict? Because you trying to fight my cousin. You talking about y'all want to jump my cousin. And I'm like, well, I'm with them. It's crazy. It was crazy. But that was when I made my national TV debut. That's when I knew I wanted to be on TV one day, and I made it happen, C-Cat.
Amazing.
All right, we got to get to our other side because we got to talk about the stars of today that we don't want to miss out on, plus the SafeBound Get Around, and we got some trivia for you. So stick around. It's going to be fun. You don't want to miss getting a chance at the house gift cards. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Yes, Sirski. We are streaming live on YouTube. Tap in. It's presented by Prize Picks, and you can see C-Cat, his newly gifted bag from the one and only Dean Thomas, and myself, Theo Dorsey, as we theoretically speak here. I know that we did have a sad cancellation for our United Way event, the celebrity bartending that's going on tonight, or was supposed to go on tonight. We got to cancel it because of Hurricane Helene and the impending storm coming through. But a huge game this weekend. Coors Light College Football Tour is going to take us to the office in Port St. Lucie for Georgia and Bama, baby. How did we get this far and didn't talk no Georgia-Bama so far?
It's going to be hell? Fun.
It's going to be a good game. Join the ESPN West Palm Street team this Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m., they're going to have $2.50 Coors Light bottles and $14 buckets. This is the perfect place to watch Georgia-Bama. Those are some good deals. We'll also have our tailgate toss out there for a chance to win some great prizes from Palm Beach Autographs. So come on out to the office in Port St. Lucie and enjoy some ice-cold Coors. You must be 21 or older to participate, and Molson Coors reminds you to please drink responsibly. Again, Georgia-Bama. The office in Port St. Lucie. That's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Jonathan Zaslow is going to join us tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Because he's going to be live from Georgia-Bama.
Man, I love what they're doing with the college game day on the radio. But I do think it's another thing that they were influenced by us here at ESPN West Palm. So I don't know if y'all have noticed this or not, but Zaz is joined by a couple of other experts in college football, and they're doing the college game day tour similar to what you see when you wake up on Saturday mornings and turn on McAfee and the guys. Look at that, McAfee and the guys.
Ooh, that's gotta hurt. I know. A lot. Yeah. Come on.
I know. I did it on purpose. But what they're doing is, what I thought the initial plan was, they were going to go to the same spots, which I thought would be redundant and purposeless. They're going to different games than the actual college game day on typical Saturdays, which I think is electric and enlightening. So we are going to get Zaz weekly here, including tomorrow, to get a little preview on Bama and Georgia.
Yeah, that's a really appointment television.
Yeah.
Is the college football this weekend. I'm really excited for it.
After a couple of weeks where we didn't really have that many,
right?
We're getting, it's like they're blessing us, you know, for us struggling through that, which is a kind of a perfect timing thing because you're going to watch early on anyways. This is the perfect timing to get us right back locked in. So Georgia Bama this weekend, pull up out there to the office of Port St. Lucie if you don't have a spot already in mind. I know a way you can get all the way to Port St. Lucie from any county that you're living in out here, and it's the safest route. It is the route with the most motion. It's the SafeBound Get Around. I get around. What you mean you don't know? Yeah. Hey, you know, I'm the motion man, so I know about motion. SafeBound Get Around, you're safely SafeBound. Before we get into our stops, I want to tell you about SafeBound Moving and Storage because, again, I have now used them. Not me. I haven't moved recently, but my little sister did. And when you book SafeBound Moving and Storage, first off, they do a consultation with you. They can do it virtually or they can send somebody in person. But it's 2024, baby. Of course, we went to the virtual option. Show them around the place. Let them know what you need them to take care of. Do they need to box it up? Are they just moving it out? Where you need to take it to? And then you just pay for it and they pull up. And they handle all of the heavy, hefty work that you know you can't do yourself. How many times have you tried to move on your own accord and you've either struggled, you've paid people to come and do it and they were lethargic. I'm talking about buddies. I'm talking about when you pay them with beer and some pizza. You're never going to get full effort out of somebody. By the way, both of those things slow you down. Like, that's a bad move, bad decision. A good move is going with Safebound Moving and Storage. They're Florida's moving company. They're based in West Palm Beach, and they're family-owned and operated. Safebound Moving and Storage, you're safe with Safebound.
Next stop,
Montville, Connecticut.
Never heard of it.
They have like a Mohegan Sun there or something. That's the only thing I know about it. That's where they play the basketball games for the WNBA team, Connecticut Sun. Ah. And Caitlin Clark's rookie WNBA season came to a close last night as the Connecticut Sun completed their sweep of the Indiana Fever with an 87-81 win. Clark finished the game with 25 points, 9 assists.
You know, I actually lived in Black Rock, Connecticut, and I used to call it like Crack Rock Black Rock because it was a little dangerous out there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a little dangerous out there, and that was when I was interning for NBC Sports. Not a long drive to Stanford, and my favorite thing about living in Connecticut when I was interning back in college was
the Connecticut Sun. I took the words right out of your mouth, didn't I?
Boy, you know me well, C-Cat.
Next stop.
So I'm kidding. Did you have something on Caitlin Clark, though, too? I mean, she got bounced. There's a lot of weird stuff that came out of that series, by the way, if you're a WNBA fan, between two ex-lovers or current lovers on different teams. Yeah. Somebody dropped 42. It's a lot cooking.
A little flirting on the court.
It's kind of weird, right?
Imagine that happening in any other league.
I just don't know. Obviously, it's way less likely just because of the dynamics of other leagues that we pay attention to. But that's going to be something that's prevalent in the WNBA. You're laughing because
you dunk on your partner. We're like, laundry's on you tonight. You're doing the dishes.
I kind of actually like that idea. I want more of that. But there's people that are like really deep WNBA fans that absolutely hate it. So, but yeah, also Caitlin Clark's season is done. So I know a lot of people are sad about that.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people saying, all right, well, that's the end of the season for me. That's what a lot of the sentiment from people I follow on Twitter. Maybe I need to find more friends.
That's fine. I don't even look. I have no dog in the fight. I know a lot of people think I'm just pro Angel Reese. I'm pro Angel Reese's podcast, but I have no dog in the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese WNBA discourse. My main thing is like I want to see good ball, and I also want to see more drama, like opposing teammates being romantically involved and having to play in a playoff series. Like that's good stuff. That's some reality show stuff.
Next stop.
We're back here in Miami, Florida for the next stop of the Safebound Get Around because that is where Shohei Ohtani made history last week on Thursday night. While that baseball where Shohei Ohtani hit his 50th home run of the season to make him the first ever 50 home runs, 50 stolen base player, it went for auction already. Bidding starts at $500,000.
Okay.
So you can buy the ball outright at $4.5 million. My guess for you, Theo, I don't know if you saw this yet. Guess how much the Dodgers offered the fan for this ball that he denied.
I already know that baseball, I mean, most professional franchises are cheap. Baseball organizations likely are as well. I bet you they didn't even offer him money. They probably offered him like season tickets, a couple of jerseys, and maybe like a meet and greet with Shohei.
That was probably the first offer.
Okay, so there was a monetary offer.
Let
me guess one then.
$100,000. $300,000. But still.
Okay.
This fan is a smart financial individual. I'm so happy that he decided to be smart about this. Not make a gut decision like, hey, we could have him eat Shohei right now. Just give him the baseball. No. He took it home with him. Probably consulted some well-educated individuals. And he's going to get a big payday. He caught a lottery ticket.
He did. I'm very proud of that fan. Anybody that would... what's the reaction to this? Are people mad he didn't give the ball back?
No, they're really not that mad. If you go back in time, remember Zach Hample's the foul ball guy. He's the guy that caught A-Rod's, I believe, 600th home run.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that you'll see like reach over children to catch home run balls. That's what he prides himself on, his big YouTube guy. He kind of caught the flack of a lot of individuals for not giving the baseball back immediately. But I think guys are in his court now.
Right. I mean, hey, man, like, if you have a chance to make some generational wealth off of just catching a ball at a random baseball game, especially if you do it at Lone Depot Park. Hey, if you buy tickets to go to Lone Depot Park and watch baseball, you deserve to get to catch a lottery ticket. Shout out to Marlins, our friends.
Next stop.
Next stop is Chicago, Illinois.
Speaking of bad baseball teams.
Yeah. 2011 NBA MVP Derrick Rose announced his retirement this morning via a love letter to basketball.
Oh, my goodness.
Theo, I think you should read the snippet yes. because you can do the Derrick Rose voice better than I.
Okay, you don't want to put your black voice on today. I get it. You showed me that passion is something to cherish, ensuring that I pour my heart into every dribble, every shot, every play. Signed, Derrick Rose. Did that sound like D. Rose?
I don't know what Derrick Rose sounds
like. Exactly. And you know what, C-Cat? The answer is it didn't sound like D. Rose because it didn't pass the smell test. When I saw Derrick Rose, by the way, love the photo shoot, love the rollout, love the fact that we're getting the retirement announcement from Derrick Rose, special athlete. Why does he expect us to believe that he wrote that damn poem?
I don't know.
That's the most clear and obvious, like, ChatGPT poem. And then we talked about it. We were like, is there a way to fact check if somebody wrote a poem via ChatGPT? And I looked it up, and there is. I plugged this poem into this website. It's called AI or Quillbot. It's a different kind of AI detector. I guess teachers use this for, like, class or something. I threw the whole poem in there, hit generate, and it tells you what percentage of the poem was crafted by AI.
So it had to be like, I don't know, 50%, 55% AI. So lower?
Higher.
Higher. How much higher? What were we, I mean, with 75%? People can have original
100%
thoughts.
100% AI generated. This site is telling me that Derrick Rose put out a retirement post that was 100% AI generated. And the saddest part about it was the first thing I thought when I was reading the damn poem was, damn. Which AI generator did he use? Was it ChatGPT? Was it like Opus Clip? Was it, I don't know. There's so many. I mean, Google's a damn AI generator these days. Let me read another line from this poem. It says, you turn the court into my sanctuary, a home where I could express myself freely. You made me every early morning and late night we spent together worth every drop of sweat. You reminded me that I could always rely on you. That in every moment of doubt, you would show me what I'm capable of. He's talking to basketball right now.
Yeah, have some respect for yourself. Oh, my God.
Why would he do that?
You're an athlete. You know, I don't want to corner people into being what I believe they should be, but you're not going to slam poetry. You know, you're not going to a coffee house wearing a turtleneck and sipping on some warm tea. You are Derrick Rose. You were the best player a lot of people have seen in Chicago.
Oh my
goodness. If you weren't alive for the Jordan era, Derrick Rose is the best player you've seen in a uniform.
Yeah.
And now you're doing snapping to some poetry.
Yeah.
Oh, and it looks like, and like you said, it was all a sham. He didn't even write this.
Jalen in the YouTube chat says he was looking forward to your black voice. We'll have to wait another day for that, Jalen. He also said this is hate.
Oh, man. Hate, hate,
I don't think
hate,
I'm hating.
Hate.
Am I hating on Derrick Rose today?
Corny.
Yeah, you are, and you should. Like, all hate is not bad hate.
This is true.
Have we agreed upon that? Like, there is oftentimes justifiable hate. Derrick Rose really was robbed of a historical Hall of Fame basketball career, but now he's being Hall of Fame corny.
Yeah. Hey, here we go. You gave me a gift, our time together. One that I will cherish for the rest of my days. Like, I don't know if Derrick Rose has ever said the word cherish before. I don't think he said the word. I'm not questioning his IQ. I do know that we had some reports somebody took his SAT. I'm not questioning how intelligent he is. He just doesn't say cherish. I don't say cherish. What the hell's saying cherish? And he's writing this whole poem. It was all AI generated, but I will say I do regret never seeing Derrick Rose play in person. I asked a question on social media today. Who's the one athlete you regret you never got to watch in person? I'm not ready to have the Hall of Fame debate with Derrick Rose today. That's what a lot of people are doing. I'm not ready to have that yet. 15 years in the league. Had an MVP his third year in. Rookie of the year his first year. All-star the second year was elite. He made LeBron James and the Heat flinch. Like
that was a fun team.
Yeah.
Taj Gibson on that team.
Yeah. He was a force in the East for a little blimp there. And I do wish that at one point, either between his Memphis days or his college or his MVP days, I was able to watch him in person. So, and in Jalen's saying that I dropped a cherish in my wedding vows, he remembers.
Wow.
There's a chance. What are you saying? Are you saying I AI generated my wedding vows? I doubt it. You know what time it is, baby. It's time for Take It to the House trivia. Now, C-Cat, the way that this is going to work is I'm going to go head-to-head with you in a trivia question, a trivia contest that's going to be led by our guy, Kate Chumslin, who's going to come in here. And the fans have a chance to win a $50 gift card to the House West Palm. That is my favorite spot to eat, especially on the weekends. It's open Thursdays through Sundays, and we always take it to the house on the weekends. So, first off, here's how you can win. Call in to the show right now, 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. Pick a side, pick C-Cat or myself, who you think is going to win this trivia contest, the Take It to the House trivia contest, and we'll take down your information. Who wins is going to win you a visit to the house. I'm going to take you to the house. If you call in and don't pick me, you're absolutely kidding yourself. For the people to have some context, can we ask Cade? Is he in there with you?
Cade is not in here with you right now.
Do we know what the topic is going to be?
NFL.
NFL. It's likely going to be NFL trivia. So we're going to go to break here. On the other side, we're going to have Take It to the House trivia, your chance to eat at the Delicate, the one of the most exquisite places and restaurants in Palm Beach County, the House West Palm. It's attached to the park, the golf course out here, the 18-hole golf course that you saw on the match that has the Lit 9, and the house has elite food and cocktails and brunch on the weekend. Again, 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. Call in, choose a side, the House West Palm, a $50 gift card on the line. All you got to do is pick who's going to win the trivia contest. And I'm telling you right now, if you have not had the lobster corn dogs at the house, you got to start with that. If you have not had the Cobb salad at the house, that's where you got to go next. And one of my favorite things right now at the house is always, always going to be those fries they have. That's not even like, the entrees are all slapping. Sometimes people sleep on how good a delicate, delicious bunch of fries can be just to get you going. So those are my little clues. TheHouseWestPalm.com. That's where you can lock in and take it to the house this weekend. $50 gift card on the line. One more time, the number, 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. We take it to the house with trivia when we return.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Bama in Georgia this weekend, Giants and Cowboys tonight. But the real competition, the real battle is C-Cat versus Theo right now on Theoretically Speaking for the Take It to the House trivia. And C-Cat, right in here on our YouTube stream, really your first debut on camera on Theoretically Speaking, is our guy, Cade Shumlin, who's going to lead off the trivia. And what's our topic today, Cade?
The topic is, of course, Giants and Cowboys matchup history.
Oh, my God.
Real fun.
Oh, that's not fair. The dude is from
Jason
New
Pierre
York.
Paul. Jason, that's my first answer.
Yeah. Eight fingers, whatever. Okay, some of this stuff is going to be year-based. You have it all categorized, so you have five different questions for us.
Yes, sir.
It is Giants, Cowboys themed because that's Thursday night football. And we do have two callers on the line. Which one are we going to give a chance to pick? And then the other one stuck with the other one because this is for a Take It to the House West Palm restaurant gift card. $50 on the line. Whoever wins between me and C-Cat, we're going to win a caller a trip to the house.
So we got Nas got in here first. Okay. So Nas gets to pick. Ball's in Nas' court. We got him up on the line right now.
Nas, my dog, Nas and West Palm. First off, my brother, how you been? It's been a while.
Life is good, brother. Just turned 50.
Congratulations. Happy birthday. Happy belated, man. Well, you know what? To celebrate, one of us is going to take you to the house, but you got to pick between me and C-Cat on who knows more Giants Cowboys history. Who you got?
I'm going to have to go with C-Cat.
Nas!
We talked about this before the show. Theo wanted to get selected. I didn't.
Bruh!
I got a lot of pressure on my shoulders now.
What's happening, bro? What's good with that?
Well, I've been watching, man.
You're putting out bad tape.
I'm trying to see what pop up.
I'm absolutely floored. All right, put him on hold. Put him on hold. Nas is in timeout. He's picking C-Cat here in the Take It to the House trivia. We got Giants, Cowboys battles here. You're going to regret that. You must not have been watching that Punchline Picks takes. Put Micah on right quick then. Micah's in Boca, right?
Yes.
Micah in Boca. Micah, you're stuck with me. How confident do you feel in me being able to win you a trip to the House West Palm versus C-Cat in Cowboys versus Giants trivia?
I'm 100% confident, Theo.
That's what I'm talking
about. You're going to bring it home and you're going to get the W, so let's do it.
Say less. I got you, brother. You going to the house this weekend. Nas is going to be stuck not celebrating his 50th birthday. he's going to be at home wishing he made a better decision. Matter of fact, Micah, man, when you go to the house, I want you to send a picture in. We're going to send that picture to Nas so he can regret his decision of picking C-Cat. It's time for the Take It to the House trivia. Kate Chumslin. Oh, first off, before we go, this is how we'll symbolize who gets to answer the question. Kate is going to ask the question. My sound goes like this. It's a whistle. C-Cat?
Hike!
That's his. When you hear that, hike, that's C-Cat. I'm the whistle. That's who gets to answer the question. Kate, kick us off the right way.
Let's make this happen. We got five questions here today, and you can't just number them 1 through 5.
No.
And you can't just say easy, medium, and hard because there's only 3 there. So the way I've categorized this, it does go easy to hard, but I've categorized them based on how your reaction should be when you hear the question.
Mm.
So we've got it, wait, let me think about that, oof, and come again. Those are the 5 types of questions.
All right, let's start with the got it because I'll beat him easily in this one.
In week 1 of the 2023 season, the Cowboys and Giants played in an epic matchup on Sunday Night Football. What was the point differential of that game? I heard a whistle first.
That's right, 40.
40 is the correct answer.
Hey, we talked about that. Can I get a whistle?
You got to give it to yourself.
I got to switch screens. You're making me work here. Thank you. Thank you. 1-0, Theo. Oh, Nas, no. You heard? You like that? You like that, Nas? I got you, Micah. What's next?
Wait question. Might take you an extra second. The Cowboys have obviously dominated the Giants in recent years. When was the last time, what season year, was the last time the Giants swept the Cowboys?
Hey!
I'm going to have to go with 2011.
Not correct.
Oh. Give it to yourself, or I'll do it. All right, let's go with 2015.
Really close, but also not correct.
What you got?
The correct answer is 2016.
Oh, man. How?
So the Cowboys went 13-3 that season.
I'm about to
say. And the Giants
beat them twice?
Two of those losses were to the New York Giants.
I literally was thinking it wasn't 2016 because they won 13 games, so I went 1 year before. That's crazy.
Okay. 13-3, one two zip. Losses to the Giants. Yep. All right, so let me think about that. The Cowboys and Giants rivalry has been played 124 times, but only once have they faced each other in the postseason. In what calendar year was the only Cowboys-Giants playoff game?
I got this. Give
no,
me
you
a
don't.
Second.
What's you don't have it.
No, I actually do. It's close. I'm almost there.
I'm going to go 2016.
That's
incorrect.
Stupid.
I just threw one out. I know terrible. That they both were winning games.
So now that Theo gave up his answer, it's one of the Super Bowl years. I know they played the Cowboys in the Super Bowl run, and I'm caught between the two.
Yeah, obviously.
They played the Buccaneers in the first round of the playoffs.
You don't get
their
to nod at
one.
Him. Don't nod at him, Cade.
So I'm not looking at Cade.
Answer the damn question. You don't get this long.
The calendar year had to have been.
This is what the hell?
You answered too early, my guy.
Yeah,
you don't
seriously.
Get this long.
That's your fault.
This isn't Jeopardy.
That's your fault, Theo. We can filibuster longer if
Theo,
you want to. If you want to complain more,
you asked me to come host this trivia show.
So your rules are that we get to take as long as we want.
The rules are what I say the rules are.
All right, so he gets to take as long as he wants. Can I do that on the next question?
If he answers as early as you did, yes.
I'm giving him more time. Answer the damn question.
2012.
The other one, 2008. And you are
all
correct.
All that for nothing.
You are
all
correct.
For nothing.
So they played the Cowboys in the second round of the playoff run.
Hey. Cowboys were ranked as the number one seed.
Hey.
Giants were the number 5 seed, and they beat them in Dallas.
I deserve partial credit.
You don't deserve any credit. You were wrong. And also, Kate is giving you partial credit right on the spot. We can already tell that our trivia host is partial, and so is Nas. You're losing right now, Nas. What's next, Kate?
Oof. Earlier that same season, the Cowboys beat the Giants 45-35, marking the largest total score in the rivalry's history. Who from that game had the following stat line? 8 receptions, 144 receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns.
Oh my gosh.
In
the game that they had the high watermark.
September of 2007, this was the highest total scoring game. Cowboys won 45-35.
Someone between those two teams?
Yeah, Dez Bryant.
Incorrect.
All right. So now we get to kind of sit on the football a little
bit. Take your time, yeah.
Let's think about this. I'm not going to go with anybody else who was on the Cowboys team. I'm going to go with the Giants. Plasko Burress has to be My answer. Plaxico?
Correct.
You're dumb.
You're so stupid. You host the show. Your name's in the show.
You got one, tied with finally me. Got 1 point.
You're tied with me. Yeah, I touched the buttons.
Yeah, you're on the show as well, C-Cat, you idiot.
Extra but fun next. Fact, Burris' only game with 3 touchdowns.
Uh-huh, and I knew it. And I just knew it.
You absolutely did. Yeah, if I would have asked you before the show started, hey, what's the one game that Plaxico Burris had with 3 touchdowns?
Tip my tongue. Yeah. Tip my tongue.
What's next? I almost called you C-Cat. Kate, you're acting like your C-Cat's cheerleader right now. Question 4.
So we are tied
1-1.
Brother, I'm not
two
the one who's
to go.
C-Cat isn't the one who's button happy right now.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm gonna keep being button happy. I'm aggressive. What's question 4?
Come again. Talking more wide receivers. Who notoriously twisted their ankle in the 1979 Week 14 Cowboys Giants game by failing to land a leaping spike after a touchdown? The injury would lead to him playing hurt the rest of the season, and the team lost in the divisional round of the playoffs to the underdog Los Angeles Rams.
Did you name the team or no? Between the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants
but
in
you just
1979.
Got, who made it to the playoffs in 1979 and lost to the Rams?
Oh, that's easy. Oh, you just narrowed it down to that.
It should be.
This guy.
It shouldn't. The wonder kid over here. Oh, my God. All right, I'll bite the bullet for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel so stupid when I say this, but I'm trying to think of old Giants.
It's probably the Cowboys, man.
You think?
I think it's the Cowboys.
Thanks for the help, Theo. Yeah. All right, let's think some Cowboys.
I mean, be my guest. Name the 79 Cowboys. We need Jupiter Joe in here. Come on. Give an answer. You're first. You have to answer quicker.
It was head coach Jimmy Johnson.
Incorrect. It's impossible. You just didn't want to name a guy that wasn't on the team.
Yeah.
Starbuck.
Incorrect. It was Drew Pearson.
Nice.
Like, oh, Drew.
What the hell, man?
I had dinner with Drew last week.
What's the next? What's question 5? We're tied 1-1.
That was question 5. That was question 5.
Really?
So now we go into overtime.
Yes, overtime. Now we're in sudden death.
Okay.
We're bringing it a little more to the present.
Thank you.
It's a good idea.
How many times has Daniel Jones beaten Dak Prescott?
3.
Incorrect.
Hey.
0.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh.
Daniel
I don't know why I said
Jones.
That either. That's a lot of time.
Thank you, Nas. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Nas.
See, here's the trick. Daniel Jones
I wanted you to let Nas down.
Daniel Jones is 1-5 against the Cowboys, but the one time he beat him, Dak Prescott sat because it was the last game of a meaningless season.
Oh,
let's bring
man.
Him in. Let's bring him in. The man who believed in me.
Oh, man. Nas, how do you feel, man? You're a champion.
Yeah. It comes with the territory.
What? You know you weren't confident when I got that first one, Nas. You was on the edge of your seat.
Nah, that's you know, rookies.
Okay.
They can win a little bit.
All right, okay. Nas, we got his info. I want to hear from who you disappointed.
Yeah, I do want to hear from Micah right quick. Appreciate you, Nas. Congratulations. Micah, how we feeling, man, on the back end of that?
I'm sick, man. I'm sick. I have faith in you, bro.
Hey, you know what, man? You got to watch who you got faith in these days, dog. You can't always drink the Kool-Aid.
You're putting it on him?
That's what got the people with Jim Jones in trouble. Sorry about that, Mike.
It's okay.
Oh, he
man.
Said
it's
he
okay.
hasn't eaten in weeks either. He said that in the YouTube chat. I'm going to hook you up, bro. We're going to get you right. Don't worry. We'll send you a pat on the back. Micah, thank you for choosing me and having faith in me. You can get him off the line there. Thank you to Kate Chumslin for our Take It to the House trivia. We got to do this again soon. That was fun. Happy hour around the corner. Dean Thomas and Tina pulling up to have some fun. And again, you don't have to just have the gift card like Nas. He's getting $50 to the House West Palm. You can just pull up. They're open Thursday through Sunday. Brunch, happy hour, or just pull up for a good meal. I love it at the house, and you get a free round at the Lit 9 when you get an entree. TheHouseWestPalm.com. That's C-Cat. That's Kate Chumslin with the trivia. I'm Theo Dorsey with Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.